You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome into hour two of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we go to the Todd Alba Show, and this week, Todd welcomed on State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner of Green Bay to talk about how he's working across the aisle to preserve the Green Bay Conservation Corps, Wisconsin's only municipal branch of AmeriCorps.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock, Thursday, May 8th. Glad to have you along on a busy, busy news day. Glad to have along our next guest joining us live via StreamYard from the beautiful Green Bay area. It is Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who is a brand new representative in the state legislature. Representative, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing really great. Thank you for having me. We just came off the 2025 draft, and we're feeling good here in Green Bay.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You're a part of what makes Wisconsin great. Tell us a little bit of what it was like having represented that area now, not only living there, but representing the Green Bay area and having the draft come to town.
Well, one, folks forget this, but just recently, Green Bay was named the number one place to live in the United States. Top 10 to retire, top 10 to raise families in. And so I know people love Madison, Milwaukee, but there's something special happening here in Green Bay. So it's something I'm incredibly proud of. I've had the pleasure of serving as the mayor's chief of staff, Mayor Eric Genrich. And, you know, there's been years of work trying to showcase the talent of Green Bay. We obviously have our own NFL team. And for us to be the smallest football media market and hosting the second largest football event really wasn't a testament to how we can do things in a Green Bay way. We can do big city stuff while keeping our small town values. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. Over 600,000 people attended. It was the second most watched NFL draft in NFL draft history. And we had booyah battles, Kringle combines. We had a 5K. We celebrated our downtown. Mm-hmm. So we really found a way to make this feel, look like, and embed Green Bay and even some of the biggest shows in the country.
I thought it was just great. I mean, to see national TV, all the big shows, all the big names originating from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the amount of, as we say in politics, earned media, free press that the area, the state got off of that. I thought that was just great. We're speaking with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who represents part of the Fox Valley, the Green Bay area here in Wisconsin, in the state legislature. Representative, I like to, because one of the things we'd like to do on this show is take kind of national or international issues and say, well, how does this affect Wisconsin? And you're looking at some of these cuts, the made-up agency of Doge and Elon Musk. One of the things they've targeted is AmeriCorps. And yes, we got wind of something that the Green Bay Common Council is doing. I just think it shows the Wisconsin spirit. Explain to folks a little bit what's going on.
You captured it quite well. So AmeriCorps is essentially the domestic Peace Corps. It has existed in various iterations for over 50 years. It's always enjoyed bipartisan support, from tutoring kids to having elders volunteer in local schools to conservation to medical support. AmeriCorps is literally embedded in the community, where community members get to serve for up to a year, sometimes 2 years. They get a stipend, not a salary. Mm. So it's not very lucrative, and they get an education award. This program has been making a major impact in the community for over 50 years across the country. Over a million people have served in it, in this program, and over $1 billion worth of scholarships have been utilized by its members.
Wow.
This is what, if you wanna look at it from a dollars and cents standpoint, mm, for every dollar invested in it, we get $17 back to the community of economic impact. So in any measurement, whether you're conservative or liberal, this is the kind of program that both makes you feel good, but is also a perfect example of what government can do when it gets involved and supports local communities. Unbeknownst to the members, the directors, the cities, Doge cut AmeriCorps and gave 24 hours notice that folks midterm, mid-service, essentially mid-job, were fired.
Wow.
The programs had to shut down immediately, mm, that people who were paying for milk and eggs childcare while they were also tutoring kids and planting trees and helping with medical care. Within 24 hours, their entire service was ended with no notice.
Wow.
And that was stunning to this community. Mm. In Green Bay, we created the first municipal ever conservation corps in Wisconsin history. It's been in the city for about 3 years. We've moved, built miles of trails, moved hundreds and hundreds of acres of invasive species. We have our own wildlife sanctuary here. So we've cared for animals. We've had hundreds upon hundreds of volunteers trained. We work with schools. We work with businesses. This program is beloved in our city. And 24 hours last week, every member, including the director who runs the program, were essentially fired by the federal government with no notice.
So let me just stop. I find this astounding. Let me stop you there for just for a second to make sure I'm clear with the listeners. So the Conservation Corps in Green Bay is all these things you've talked about. They're great for the community. They were funded fully or in large part by AmeriCorps.
Large part. So it's a 3-to-1 match, meaning for every dollar we put in, the federal government puts $3 in. So there was skin in the game here. Mm. But because of its large contribution from the federal government, if you take 75% of the funding away, the program is not possible.
It's done. So they give you 24 hours, say, you guys are finished, you're toast, go ahead.
And what's even crazier is that our program has attracted people from all over. So yes, from the Shawnos and the Fond du Lacs, but also from the Colorados and Californias, the Texas and Tennessees. We had people from all over the country in Green Bay, seeing the Green Bay way of taking care of each other, taking care of and making our community more resilient, addressing flood mitigation. And they were told that they would not get paid because all funding had stopped. No dollars could be dispensed any further. And so the mayor, myself, and a bunch of the members got together, cried a little bit because this was devastating, and said, what can we do? And one of the things we said is that in Green Bay, we take care of each other. Regardless of national politics and the pettiness of politics, they can be in Green Bay. Good things defy political logic here because we just take care of each other and we're community oriented. So we, an alder decided to offer an amendment that said we can put $115,000, that's it, that we have available, and that members would be able to serve out their term, which would end in August. Every other program in the state has closed or ended or is fully cut. So that we started organizing that way. We started making phone calls. We brought members in. We did a press conference. The mayor was incredible. Alder Joey Presley on the Green Bay Common Council led the effort. We had tons of testimony, not a single opposition to this bill. Incredible. And our Common Council, people who support Donald Trump to people who support Bernie Sanders, unanimously supported this program. And we're now the only program in Wisconsin that isn't being shut down immediately. Green Bay's Conservation Corps will be able to have its members serve until August. And I couldn't be any more proud of our Common Council, our mayor, and our community who stepped up when the federal government abandoned us. And I think that says something about Wisconsin. It says something about Green Bay that we step up even when they won't. But that cruelty is something that we need to point out.
Well, I just think it's remarkable, and I appreciate you coming on and telling this story because, you know, the quote-unquote sexy news stories are generally about bad things happening or about terrible things happening. And again, something did, in my opinion, terrible happen, all this funding cut, but we don't hear the spirit of Wisconsin stories about what's happening in places like Green Bay and, quite frankly, all over the state that don't get told. But here you have the Common Council in Green Bay, and I think to your point, Representative, that whether you're someone who is a quote-unquote environmentalist liberal who wants to just go out and walk in nature, and nothing wrong with that, or if you're someone who might be perceived as more of a conservative who goes out and hunts or whatever, you need really great conservation efforts to achieve both of those things. And the fact that you guys brought together people from all different political spectrums to get behind this, I think is remarkable. So the program is saved or essentially kept through August. Do we have any idea of what happens next?
So the group, now that we're kind of, you know, relishing in our small victory in this kind of dark time, we are now working. We have a Republican congressman, Tony Weed. We are going to be, I'm going to be sending a letter. We're going to be working with our Conservation Corps members and other supporters to see if our congressman can be a leader on saving this program federally. We believe that this program gives more than it receives in federal dollars and state dollars. And we think this has always enjoyed bipartisan support. Mm-hmm. You know this better than a lot of other folks. Environmentalism in Wisconsin, is until very recently, it was never partisan. Mm-hmm. Senator Gaylord is the person that created Earth Day. We did an Earth Day draft edition right with our Conservation Corps right before the NFL 2025 draft. Mm-hmm. This is something that enjoys good air, flood mitigation, training, trail maintenance, invasive species removal, benefits everybody. And so we really want to do the work to see if our congressman will step up. I will say, give a lot of thanks to Governor, the Governor Tony Evers, who is suing the federal administration. What's really unique about this moment is that these were funds that were already allocated. In a typical budget process, you could say, we don't want to fund this anymore. Congress would say, okay, you have to convince them of the votes. And you could zero this out for the next budget item. Never before in American history or any in recent memory could you stop funding a program that had already gotten bipartisan budget approval by Congress. Mm-hmm. That has never existed before. And so the governor is suing to ensure that this is potentially done illegally. So my hope is both the carrot and the stick, we're proud to be supporting the governor's lawsuit, but we're also going to be lobbying and asking our Republican congressmen to support this program that makes such a fundamental difference here in Green Bay.
Talking with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner of the Green Bay area, Representative, you brought up such a great point, an important one, that these cuts that, again, as a reminder, DOGE is not a real agency. It was made up by Trump and Musk. They've really usurped Congress. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that should worry you. That the budget that your representative, your Congress passed, your senator, got null and voided by essentially two guys. And I think that's a great point to make, that if you want to have these arguments that you don't want AmeriCorps, then it should be debated on the floor of Congress and voted on. But what they did to Green Bay and other places is just ridiculous. Do we have you for the next segment, or are you done here at 10 till?
Up to you, Todd.
Well, if you don't mind, let's come back. There's a lot of the great things happening. I want to talk about more than just this, but we got about 2 minutes left before Zomber says 1 minute. We got new clocks, Representative. I'm sorry, I'm getting used to new clocks. So give us the 1 minute thing here. Do you think there's any hope beyond the lawsuit? Do you think that maybe we're going through a state budget right now, $4 billion surplus? Do you think there's a chance that the state legislature could step in to help at least part of this?
I've had some fantastic conversations with the lieutenant governor and the governor's office, my colleagues, who are deeply interested in making sure that we have these thoughtful, powerful programs. In the governor's budget before it was just gutted yesterday by the JFC, there was a matching ed ward for AmeriCorps members because we see the value in keeping these kind of folks in our communities. And folks in AmeriCorps can serve from 18 to 80. Right. And we've seen all of that there. And so I'm excited to see the potential. I have hope. I've seen what we can do in Green Bay, and I believe that we can take what we're doing in Green Bay and make that happen in Madison.
We're going to come back and talk more with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner on conservation and what it's like being a freshman in the state legislature. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we head to Oshkosh, where Mino and the mayor were on a remote this week. They welcome on Alicia Wenger, who joins from Christine and Domestic Abuse Services in Oshkosh. She shares the stories of the organization's namesake and talks about all of the services that they offer individuals and their families.
Take Mino and the mayor on the go with the Civic Media app. Live, local, and always streaming. Download the app, choose WISS or WGBW, and tune in anywhere, anytime. Now, back to Mino and the mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Come on, the mayor, coming your way from downtown Oshkosh on a beautiful but chilly Thursday morning. 38 in Green Bay, 39 Hampton, 41 Oshkosh. High today in the mid to upper 50s. I told you we've got a full slate of great guests. We always do when we come to Oshkosh. Todd and Lisa always put together a great, great ensemble. Alicia Wenger, executive director of the Christine Ann Story here, Domestic Abuse Services. And we were just talking during the break, and we're just wide-eyed, our mouths almost open. You tell me about the day-to-day that you all deal with this. But first, I want to back up, if you don't mind.
Christine Ann, we need to acknowledge that more than just her name. Can you tell her story and why your center is named after this young lady?
Thank you so much for having me.
Right. We'll start with Christine Ann.
Yeah. So Christine Ann Clark, she grew up in the Oshkosh area, went to school at UW Oshkosh, where at that point in time, she had met her her boyfriend, Alan. And soon after they graduated, they got married and things were and became very abusive. And domestic violence, a lot of times, is not visible to the outside world. There's so many people in our lives that are impacted by abuse and we have no idea because it's kept behind closed doors. And that's really what was happening with Christine Ann. And she was, they ended up having a child together, a daughter. And they, the abuse had gotten so bad that she actually fled to a shelter in Milwaukee. And like the cycle of violence, you know, Alan convinced her to come back. And so she tried and it got worse. And so she ended up leaving. It was at that point that she had told her family about what was happening. And what had happened essentially then was they went through the divorce, but they had 50-50 custody of their daughter. And during a child custody exchange, Alan had convinced her to meet in a different location that was more secluded. And it was relevant to their relationship when they were together. It was a spot
sure.
that they knew. And he had ended up taking her life and leaving the daughter unharmed.
Can I ask how old the daughter was at the time?
She was very little.
Okay. I mean, no disrespect, but at least she didn't witness it firsthand type thing.
Yeah. Okay. She was with, I believe, within her first 2 years okay. of life. And so daughter was unharmed, but some people who were passing by ended up finding Christine and called the police. And Alan is serving life in prison. So her story is really important to tell because our organization, we started in 1984 and we were named Regional Domestic Abuse Services. And this is one of the worst case scenarios that could have happened and right here in our community. And it was right when our movement was really taking off. And so our agency actually approached her family and asked if we could rename our organization in Christine Ann's honor.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they agreed. And so now her name lives on as a symbol of hope for others in our community. And in her case, she had left. She had left that relationship, right? And that is the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship is when somebody is leaving or preparing to leave. So,
And it's sad as that is, if that's not the only story.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Even you think Wisconsin, mm-hmm. safe, nice people. You know, that whole, what do they call that?
Wisconsin nice. Yeah.
It's not all that nice because you were even saying that statistically we're a little higher than we should be on the map.
Yeah, so Wisconsin is eighth in the nation for domestic violence homicides. So one in every six.
Wow.
44
yeah.
states are like doing better than we are. Yeah, that's nothing
to be proud of. Every six domestic violence homicides are taking place in Wisconsin. So
that's awful. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in a good way either.
No.
So it is something that is continuously rising from year to year. And, you know, we try to do as much as we can to get the word out, do so much community education, yeah. Help people understand what domestic abuse is and that there's assistance.
And it's not always 21, 23 year olds. There's some older people that
absolutely
need to see too that are have been living
men,
this life.
Okay,
we almost like brag about our how much we drink in Wisconsin, the drunkest state, whatever. Is that a factor?
You know, so what I will say is that drugs, alcohol, stress, mental illness are all things that can exacerbate
trigger.
Exaggerate the abuse, but
right.
it is not the cause
okay.
of it. So, but those are definitely factors that can often escalate a situation.
So let's talk about, I mean, you're the director, right? You're the
yes.
director, the executive director of the Christine Domestic Abuse Services. And we talked about, you got a new facility, 64 people you can house there, but you must have a outpatient, no, do you call it outpatient? People who just call and say,
yeah.
look, I this isn't working for me. I mean, tell us about people that can just contact you anonymously, I hope.
Yes, absolutely. So we have a 24/7 helpline. We have trained advocates that right. are there 24/7, 365 days a year. They're there answering the phones, providing that support. Our 24/7 helpline is anonymous. So people can call and just, I want to chat about what's going on. Or if you're a friend or family member of someone who's impacted by abuse, and you want to know how to best support them, that's what that 24/7 helpline is for. So we offer that along with our 24/7 emergency shelter. And then we do provide outreach services. So we have non-residential support. We actually have three locations. So our primary shelter and location is here in Oshkosh off of Algoma. And then we have an outreach office in Menasha inside of the Levin building. And we have another outreach office in Green Lake inside of the Town Square Community building. Because our agency serves all of Winnebago County and all of Green Lake County.
I'm going to slip you, read this, because I don't want to ask it on the air, but tell me if it's okay to ask this question.
Yes.
Okay. I was, go ahead and say what I just wrote down, because I didn't know if it was...
What he asked was, did the little girl turn out okay?
If it was tragic, I didn't want to hear about it on the air. No, just to hear about it, but I didn't want to bring up something so tragic. But,
no,
okay, so go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes. And a really powerful and wonderful moment that we had, Christine Ann's daughter, was her family actually came and did a tour this past summer.
Oh, wow.
And they got to see the new building, and I actually got the chance to meet her family and her daughter. So it was a really, awesome. It was a really wonderful moment to be able to meet the whole family.
Huh?
Yeah, wow, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay. I want to talk about some of the programs you offer, because I think people just think it's a shelter, but I mean, you have everything in here from, you know, the advocacy, the teen programs for kids.
Yeah, we do.
I want to get back to some of those, because I think people, look, I think we know it's an issue, but it's just not, here's a place to sleep. There's
correct.
So much more that you offer.
And you're sticking around for another segment. We're not letting you go.
Oh, perfect.
This is too fascinating. I'm just sitting here, my mouth open. You talk about these wonderful things you're doing and the need for them.
I'll stay here all day,
all
guys.
All right. By the way, we've got just to lighten up, we got a big contest going. A slogan contest, see how creative our people are.
We're looking for a tagline for our show, because we entered a contest and we got second. And we're like, dang, if we would have had a tagline, we would have won.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a tagline like, you know.
Mind on the mayor.
Something, something, something. So it can't be a paragraph.
I'll give you some here. I just got another here. Mine on the mayor, like a case of athlete's foot that just don't go away. Another one here, mine on the mayor, bantering, bickering, and bewildered day after day.
Kelly? Yes.
What's that bad?
Mine on the mayor, less fluff, more facts, occasional chaos. Another one, mine on the mayor, cancel us, we dare you. Another one, we can set a quick
That is true, man. Better not let him in.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we'll hear a segment from Matt Nair on Air. This week, Jane and Greg welcomed on Corrine Hendrickson, who we heard earlier with Pat Kreitlow. She's talking more about the May 12th Day Without Child Care, calling attention to the crisis of child care funding in Wisconsin.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, no matter where you are.
No matter where?
In Oshkosh, listening on WISS, perhaps. You can always call us or text us. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, as we always do, we indulge in a little audio sorbet. Little cleansing for your ears. We get away from politics and things like that and talk about lighter things. Mm-hmm. So next hour at this time, we want to know, what social media accounts do you follow that make you happy?
There you go.
That make you feel better.
I got a good feeling inside just thinking about the ones I do follow. Like a genuine breath of like, oh, wow.
You check them every day, even if it's just for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You check this social media account just to see what silly thing they're doing.
Yep.
We could all use a little bit more of that in our lives.
Agreed.
So start thinking about it now. What social media accounts do you follow just because they make you happy or they make you laugh?
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next hour at this time. Right now, excited to have her back. Corrine Hendrickson is here. She owns a daycare center. She's a member of the Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin. And Corrine, you guys had a big meeting last night in Mount Horeb about child care. So can you tell us a little bit about how that went?
Yeah, so we had another community conversation. Thanks for having me on before our Ashland one. And this time, though, we had the Raging Grannies kick us off, which was pretty fantastic.
Nice.
I uploaded the video of the song that's about child care onto our event, the Brickcider event, if anybody wants to watch that. I highly recommend them. So that was super fun and a great way to kick it off. And then Matt, who owns Brickcider, spoke a lot about how, as an employer, it's imperative for him to be able to have people that can work that have reliable child care. And as a small business owner, restaurant industry, very small margin of profit, he can't afford to, you know, offer it as a benefit for his employees because it's so expensive. It's too much. And also, how do you justify giving one employee basically a $2,000 a month bonus?
Right.
For, you know, with against other ones. And that's not fair either. It affects all of us. So he really is interested in something like a payroll tax like Vermont did, where it's 0.05%, which FYI, that would double what our manufacturers and ag pay in state income taxes because they only pay 0.05% right now. So it's 0.05% is what they did in Vermont. I haven't crunched the numbers for our state specifically. However, what that did is it doubled the amount of revenue that the programs got per child because it increased the amount of money that was coming into the program. And it's been wildly successful. It started in April of last year. Vermont is tiny. They have fewer than 1 million children.
Right.
They actually have increased the number of slots by 1,000, which would be like 10,000 here. They have increased the number of regulated family childcare by 50 and group centers by another like 75, and 300 more people are in the field in 7 months. You know, this report came out in February, so in like 7 months. And the affordability, the amount the parents were paying out of pocket, dropped. And so all these parents now, you know, they no longer having the employee crunch that we were having. They're no longer having the demographic issues. We're about the same as far as age and everything. And they are actually increasing their birth rate. Weird. It's amazing what happens when people feel financially secure and, you know, they're able to go to their small businesses and spend money. Because if you're not spending the same amount on your mortgage as you are on childcare, all of a sudden you have all this money in your pocket to go to the restaurants and to go to the small businesses and just, you know, buy things that, you know, you can do with your family and, you know, go to the state parks and just do things.
It seems so like what you're saying is that these programs wouldn't be so much as an entitlement or for the takers. It's more like an investment. It sounds like an investment with an ROI, with a return.
A return on investment. So speaking of that, old traditional return on investment studies have said between $7 and $14 for every single dollar spent in childcare. However, some newer ones have come out. Washington, D.C. has done a pay equity fund, which is kind of what we're asking for here in Wisconsin. Increase the wages by about $5 an hour. They've gotten 23% back. $23 are back for every dollar they've spent. Because weird, people have more money. The state's getting more income taxes. The teachers are no longer relying on the public service, public goods, subsidy, Medicaid, food stamps, housing to stay in the field. They're able to pay for that themselves. So that, you know, starts to diminish as well. And then Canada went to $10 a day universal child care about 2 years ago. And they've seen an increase in their gross domestic product of 1% just from that.
Wow.
1%.
Wow. But as you said, it's how you sell it, right? Because the Republicans are just, it's a tax increase. We can't have any more tax increases. Instead of saying this is an investment in the future, this is an investment essentially in business and certainly for small businesses. And we've talked a lot about this yesterday, how crucially important small businesses are to the economy. And one of the reasons why Wisconsin fared pretty well going through the pandemic was because Governor Evers focused so much attention on keeping small businesses going. And if you don't help them and if you don't support them, that's kind of like they're part of the foundation, and you don't support that, and that's when the foundation starts crumbling.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what part of that investment was increasing our wages from $10.66 an hour to $12.66 an hour by the way we allocated the COVID relief funds. Other states didn't do that. The states that allocated the funds to every regulated program and wanted it and supported it and required, which we get audited. It's a requirement. This is not money that we're not, you know, accountable for. We get audited that we have to prove we're spending it, how we say it. And the requirement was half the money had to go to wages. And so we did it. And those states that did that fared better. Those states that did that across the board are now investing state dollars. Our state, as of tomorrow, if the omnibus gets, you know, passed in the Joint Finance Committee at 1 o'clock, child care counts is out. That means, and I haven't heard any plan. I have reached out to Senator Mark Klein's office. He is my senator. And I specifically asked, what is your plan then? What do you have as an option? What's your, you know, what's your idea? Because we did say child care counts likely won't make it. And that's why we've used the terms child care investment. That's why we've said we want it to go to the wages, but they're not responding. So that tells me that I'm very worried that it's going to be deregulation. It's going to be 16-year-olds. Our insurance companies, West Bend is one of them. They're sending out letters for non-renewal right now to everybody because they want to get out of the business because deregulation is causing more children to die and get hurt and increases the risk. And so they want to get out of it, which I don't blame them. But come on, insurance lobbyists, do your job and tell these people this is the problem. Like, come on.
Seriously.
You know, help us out.
Yeah. So, Corrine, just so I make sure I'm understanding this correctly, their answer, the Republicans' answer to the child care crisis in Wisconsin is to deregulate it so we have younger people who are working at these centers overseeing even more children. Correct.
Correct. That has been the only thing that I have seen as options. I have not seen a single thing about a single dollar being invested. Correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Markland. You can email me. You have my number.
Senator Markland, you can call us right now, 855-752-48. We'll take you.
We'll wait.
Sure.
So I have a question for you. Is we've talked about this topic a lot on the show, and the apocalyptic version is always they want to do this so women just stay home, have babies, quote unquote, know their role as mothers for the family, that kind of talk. But take that out of the equation. I don't, the version of this where it's working longer hours, 16-year-olds take, it doesn't, it's not something you can take, and I'm talking from a political standpoint, like campaigning. It's not something you can take back to your constituents and campaign on. To me, increasing funding for childcare, which I last time I checked, Republicans and Democrats both require childcare, regardless of who you vote
for. I believe so, yes.
So if you make it easier for them, like that's a good in a social version, like for good for the heart. But for your campaigning, that's also good to take back to your district and say, hey, we did this. We took care of you because we care. I don't understand why they just cannot, why it is everything and digging your heels and saying, no, we're going to do it this way because we know it's the correct way or it's the better way instead of what did you say the increase would be? How much of a percent?
Well, if it's like Washington, D.C., we're talking 23% return on investment.
Yeah, but the increase in taxes, it was like
.05
if we do the payroll tax. Yep.
It's negligible.
Yeah. And that's all nonprofits, all of our government services. Everybody would be eligible to be part of that, where if you do a employer tax credit, which is taxpayer dollars being used because credits are still taxpayer dollars,
right?
Then only your big businesses, only your for-profits are going to even be able to access that care if they can find a spot. And so this way it builds up the entire system and allows every single part of our economy to actually work how it's intended and needs to. So yeah, and like you said, Greg, it doesn't make sense because I don't foresee very many people being able to go campaign on, you know, that deregulation and 16-year-olds should be taking care of 7 2-year-olds in a classroom by themselves. And that's the other thing. Brooke Legler, my colleague and co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, did do the rounds and met with several Republican offices. And we told Representative Voss's office, the person we met with, you know, you Republicans could be the heroes. I mean, if you did this, you'd be the hero.
Yep.
Versus we reminded them that some of the senators like Bollweg and Strobel, who made a lot of comments about how they, one, Strobel said that women should just stay home and Bollweg would claim that she was supporting childcare, but then voted against it. We reminded them that we helped get them out. we reminded them that we talk to our families and we talk to our community members. We are respected people. We are trusted with their children. And we informed them, hey, FYI, Senator Baldwin voted against child care counts 10 times. Then Kieske, who's running, is saying that she supports child care investment. And you can talk to her and here's her information. And so we're not going to, you know, stop, and we're not going to not do it this next time in 2026.
What was his reaction when you told him that?
It wasn't him. It was one of his.
Of course.
He was his policy person. But her reaction was kind of like, and then she goes, well, there's no money. Where do you get the money from? And then we said, well, we spent $2.5 billion in prison systems. I feel like there's a little there we could take and reallocate and use to keep people from going down that road, because the preschool prenatal to prison pipeline is real. And if you want to reduce crime, if you want all the things that every single person was talking about at those JFC hearings, foundationally comes back to taking care of our families and our children and our communities, and child care and housing are the biggest piece of that.
Don't we have a pile of money sitting in Wisconsin, $4 billion, that we could use this? Like, to say there's no money is factually inaccurate and just ignorant if you don't, like, or you're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Point made.
Tough to argue with that. Yeah. Corrine Hendrickson is our guest. She is a child care provider. She also belongs to the Main Street Alliance. They had a meeting last night in Mount Horeb, and there is another one coming up next week that you can attend. We're going to talk more about that on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we're heading out to the golf course. On Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, Pete and his producer Conrad talk about Con's golf game while he brags that he broke 100. The guys also ponder the question of the night. On Tourism Day, where would you go?
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on a Wednesday night. Here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, we are talking about all things entertainment tonight, movies, TV, fun Wisconsin stuff, and the kid Conrad Krieger riding shotgun. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
So, all right, good. Have you been golfing yet this year? We've got three nice days in a row now.
Actually,
a little chilly today.
The funny thing is, I did go golfing this morning.
Really?
I did.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Just eh?
It went all right.
Okay.
It was nice to just go out there and be like, I am outside enjoying the weather for once. In a long time, it feels like.
What, like, do you actually like the sport, or is it more about camaraderie and hanging out?
Well, I golf by myself, so.
But you like your own company, so that could still apply.
Well, sometimes those thoughts, you know. I'm just kidding.
You're one of those guys doesn't like to be alone with his thoughts. I get it.
Yeah, that's why I live alone. I love the sport. It's, you know, I started taking it serious, like, you know, 3 years ago.
Okay.
When I moved up here to Appleton, and it gave something for my brother and I to bond over, I feel like.
Were you having bond issues before that? Did you guys always get along, or is this kind of like what put you over the top?
I feel like it put us over the top, you know?
Oh, that's nice. That's
so
awesome.
It's a lot of fun to learn something new. You know, you're not going to be good at it.
Right.
I mean, even 3 years in, I still suck.
What is suck? What's a bad score? What's a good score for you, and what's a bad score for you?
So I'll say a bad score is probably, you know, if golfing on 18.
Right.
So that would, I'd probably say, you know, a 115 to 120 is not good for me.
You golf 18 holes?
Usually.
In a row?
Usually.
Wow. I didn't realize you were that much of an athlete.
In a row?
I'm half kidding. Well, that's cool. 120. I mean, you're just starting out, right?
Well, that's a bad score for me.
Okay. What's a good score?
I did break 100 last year, which was amazing for me. And just, you know, doing it in about two years. Which I think is pretty good, but I haven't got back to that yet in a while.
You know, I was about to break 100 last summer, and then I hit that windmill hole, and it's just all bets are off, and I want to throw my clubs. Clubs plural, even though it's...
Every time I'm mini golfing, I just think of that scene in Happy Gilmore.
What scene?
When he's putting at the clown. You're going to die, clown!
I might have to break down and give that a rewatch. It's been so long since I've seen that, or like Happy Madison or whatever it is. But
you know what? Why don't you, when Happy Gilmore 2 comes out in July, just, you
see,
know,
the first one?
Watch the first one before it and then go right into the
second
one. I
don't want to be lost. I wouldn't be able to.
I don't think you get that much lost.
It's not a bad idea, though. All right, we are in full swing here. Nightlight is underway, folks. Happy Wednesday. Great to have you. My guest tonight, I'm excited. Piet Levy is a guy who I've respected for a long time. He is just an excellent writer. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he reports on music and writes about the music scene in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin. And he's just a really solid dude and a phenomenal writer. So he is here tonight at 6:35. It's been way too long since Piet has been on the show. And then Rob Thomas, our pal. We talked to Rob a little earlier. We will play that interview at 7:20, and Rob helps us close down the show. So if you have texts, try to get them in the first hour or early in the second hour, and we can get to them. Because as I said, it's so much fun to read your thoughts on the radio, folks. You can chime in, as you know, with anything we're talking about, but we do have what we call our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It's National Travel Day. Where do you want to go? Very simple. Simple question tonight. And here's what we're going to do. I'm sorry, it's not travel. It's National Tourism Day. We should have had Logan Rogge on today.
Yes.
He's our travel guy. But that's tonight's question, folks. Where do you want to go? I'm going to do this. I'm going to break this down three ways. I'm going to go in the state of Wisconsin, in America, and then in the world. I would love, starting globally first, I would love to go to New Zealand. I really want to go to New Zealand. I want to go there and not ever wear clothes again and romp on the beach.
You're just going straight to the nude beaches.
Well, that's what I want to do in Wisconsin, too, but it's frowned upon. No, I would love to go to New Zealand. I've heard it's beautiful. I have friends that have moved there. I also have a friend who moved to the Canary Islands, and that's supposed to be gorgeous. Conrad, where are you going?
Well, so I'm going to a bachelor party in Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
So there's a Wisconsin one.
There you go.
Looking forward to that.
Dells are beautiful.
Golfing, swimming.
Sure.
Some beverages on the side.
I see some cannonballs in your future.
Yeah. The USA, you know, I have never been to New York City, so okay. I think that would be cool, but I'll change it just because you had that one, too.
All right.
I would love to go to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, that's gorgeous, too.
I've always wanted to go there. That's actually where I see myself moving maybe in the future.
Really?
Yeah, but...
Oh, I'm learning something about you. Now, why is that? Just because it's on the ocean, warmer climate, or you like the South, or what?
I feel like you still can get four seasons there, but not, you know, not as bad as here, but... You can still feel a little winter there.
Okay.
But the summers are, I heard, are great there. So, and then outside of the USA, you know.
You've already been to Italy, so you got that. Yeah, you got that off your list. Seriously.
I mean, I went to Australia when I was younger, but I think I'd want to go back, but this time on the other side of the islands, to Sydney.
Oh, you were on the other, the Melbourne side?
I was by Perth.
Oh, wow. What got you over there? Just a family?
Well,
you're like taking the Griswold thing to the extreme.
You know, it kind of felt like a Griswold family
really?
Vacation when we were there, but we'll get into the details of that. But
please do.
It was a family trip with my aunt, my cousin, my mom.
Well, so, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Piet Levy's here tonight. Rob Thomas, so much fun talking about all the things we love to talk about here on Nightlight tonight. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.